Good morning, welcome to Tip TV Finance with myself, Matt Brown, Zach Meir, and we're joined today by BGC strategist Mike Ingram. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good, good. Well, let's crack on straight into the slides. What news is out there? Money losing Toshiba, selling medical leasing unit to Canon. Now, this actually isn't a big headline because I think it's only valued at 28 million. That's Canon. But Toshiba, some big woes with their US nuclear write-down losses of late. What's your take on this, Mike, with Toshiba?
Well, there's a broader issue in play, actually. I was talking to one of my colleagues who specialise in the Japanese market, and he said it's part of a trend which is coming in that companies in Japan are becoming a little bit more shareholder-friendly. They're a lot more amenable to minority shareholders, activist shareholders coming in saying, well, look, you need to restructure, you need to be more focused, you need to return some more cash to shareholders. So this is a baby step in that direction. But as you say, of course, Toshiba has got some broader woes.
Yeah, indeed.
Isn't there the other problem, though, that in Japan you've got these names, the Sony, Toshiba, they had their great days before, and now they're on the back, and they're not allowed to. They're allowed to be great, but they're not allowed to fail at all. This is the problem. And they have the same attitude with their non-banks as we have with our banks, let's say.
Yeah, and you could say, you know, that's one of the reasons why Japan has effectively had, we're on a third lost decade now, I think. but, you know, unemployment in Japan's 3%. Yeah, so that suggests of itself it's not a particularly dynamic economy, and, you know, the numbers speak for themselves, I'm afraid.
Right, next up. LSE and Deutsche Börse set to offer more concessions to secure mergers. We've had the politicians talking in Germany and the UK. Where is the HQ going to be based? Views on this?
Well, I mean, I think it's a hostage to fortune now, isn't it? You know, we're in the immediate run-up to Article 50 detonation, I suppose the word I would probably use. And I'm afraid this is going to continue to be a political football.
Mm-hmm. I think let them go to Germany and see how they like it. It's a bit like this French guy, Macron, who's come over here trying to woo bankers to go to Paris. Enjoy the language there and enjoy the entrepreneurial spirit of the French and just see how you get on and just go there, just try it out.
Well, if HSBC's numbers get any worse, there'll be no bankers to move. But
So traders look around those particular stocks, see what comes out there. Moving on, January is a good month for the tax man. A self-assessment income pours in. This year's surplus was $9.4 billion, the biggest since 2000, taking the year-to-date figure for public sector net borrowing down to $49.3 billion, the lowest since the financial crisis started. This would put the government in line to undershoot the OBR's forecast budget gap for the current year. Lots there, but good for Hammond as the Exchequer.
Yeah, I mean, under George Osborne, the deficit for 2016-17 fiscal was slated to be $15.5 billion. The first budget for Philip Hammond in November last year upped that to $68 billion. Speculation that the final number that comes in end of March, maybe in the range of 65 to 60 billion deficit, may possibly give some scope for a few tax giveaways. But obviously, you've got the NHS, for instance, in the headlines at the moment, so they're going to be perhaps a politically more sensitive thing to be addressed, Joseph, if there are any giveaways to be had.
Certainly, with the NHS making a loss every day, it's not looking good.
Yeah, it's not looking good at all.
Okay, moving on. Economic calendar, a few things to look out. I think we've already had the Eurozone CPI, Canadian core retail sales. US existing home sales for January, keep an eye on that. But I think the big one here, FOMC meeting minutes due out tonight.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you need to bear in mind in this is that the voting members are much more dovish than the broader FOMC, so it's very likely that the tone of it actually might be quite hawkish. But we've seen, very recently, Janet Yellen giving testimony to Congress last week. We saw the market probability of a March rate hike move from 30% to 44%, and then it came straight back down. So even if we have a little bit of a rate scare, the market just seems to sort of forget about it after 48 hours. So
so that's the thing. How will the market take it? It seems onwards and upwards with the market.
Yeah, I did something on this a couple of weeks back on this show, and I mean, of course, one of the issues is that the Fed has cried wolf on rates so many times over the years. The other thing is, of course, is that very, very shortly we're likely to get two, and after April, three board governors appointed. Mm-hmm. What are they going to be like? I mean, you know, Trump's talking about somebody like John Taylor to eventually replace Janet Yellen when she steps down January next year. Well, you know, if he sticks to his own Taylor rule, mm-hmm. Fed funds rate should be 3.25%. I think the market might be a bit upset if they thought that was a realistic prospect.
One to look out for then, certainly.
Absolutely.
Moving on, FX sentiment powered by Oanda. Zach, talk us through this.
Just, I mean, a bit of a wobble there for sterling, but the share price hasn't, the price of the currency hasn't really moved. We're still around that 124, 125, but a little bit more bearish there, but still overall bullish. So buying at the 50-day moving average effectively. Stuck on gold. Gold seemed to be in a range. It sort of almost has gone dark over the near term. And then, very interestingly, I suppose the highlight is euro dollar, where the cross looks like it's dying with the fears over the French election and obviously then the Dutch situation as well. But they're very long of euro dollar, so that is, you know, they're buying the dips there towards 105.
And moving on, the S&P 500, as we already said, kind of record highs. Overbought indicators, but rally continues on short squeeze. New positions are best entered on intraday weakness. Trail stops higher with the trend.
Yeah, it feels, one of my favourite phrases, as Zach knows, melt up. It's ledged. If you look at the styles which are performing at the moment, momentum is not doing well. Large caps are doing well. But the thing that really strikes me, and this is also being reflected in European markets, is that the volumes are just pitiful. They're not the sort of volume you would associate with that kind of quantum move.
Okay, and next up, trade of the day, Old Mutual.
Not a big trading stock. I'm sure there aren't millions of people getting involved in that, but at least technically we've got that gap to the upside that we had the other week through 210 pence, and looks as though we could at least retest the best levels of last year towards 225 and the stop loss, as you can see, below that gap at 210.
That's great. And moving on finally to broker recommendations, Anglo-America there, some numbers, good numbers.
Well, I just, obviously the main highlight for me is just my daily tribute to Deutsche Bank. One of the reasons I want to the LSE and Deutsche Börse to go back to Germany, they can join them. we've got hold rating, which is obviously totally wrong on Anglo-American, and the target, they still keep changing the target, they don't change the rating.
It's a grudging hold, isn't it?
Because that would admit that they got it wrong, about £8 lower than where we are now. But at least HSBC can bask in their buy recommendation, which seems to be consistent. Mm. And then a couple of niche plays here. Dangerously overbought on Fever Tree drinks. I mean, unless somebody takes it over at a ridiculous rating, I think it's looking a bit overstretched. But they are expanding their portfolio, so maybe they can start eating the lunch of Diageo and others. Mm-hmm. Target there up to 450, 1450, so Berenberg, just a bit of a lap of honour there. And then finally, another niche player, £3.80 for a super milk bar, which I buy one of those a month with my Tip TV bonus. Still, that is more than at the price of one share of Hotel Chocolat, so it's worth noting that. Maybe next time I'll go for the shares, not the... not the actual product. Currently, the share's around £2.60, by the way.
Okay, so ending on a sweet note, Mike, Zach, thank you very much.